What advice would you give to somebody who is 6 to 12 months behind you in the thick of life, starting their journey?
Number one, join a mentorship. Trying to do this industry and ride it out on the free wave, the free wave is not going to work. You have to invest in yourself to join a mentorship. Yep. Somebody that's executed successfully in the space. And then number two, network your tail off. As you're learning the business, multifamily real estate investing, it's not that hard from like a conceptual, technical, academic standpoint. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. It's really a people game.
This is the Diary of an Apartment Investor podcast, and I'm your host, Brian Briscoe. Now, this podcast is designed for the aspiring apartment investor and literally gives them the opportunity to ask the questions that will help them get to the next level. So if you're an aspiring apartment investor, this podcast is for you. Now, this podcast is brought to you by the Tribe of Titans Multifamily Educational Community. It's your one-stop shop for learning how to succeed at apartment investing. Welcome to the Diary of an Apartment Investor podcast. I'm your host, Brian Briscoe with Streamline Capital Group. And we've got another great show for you today. It's one of our first deal episodes. So today we're welcoming Trevor Walker on the show today. So Trevor, what's up, man?
Super happy to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me. And got to throw this out here. Yeah. Thank you so much for your service for decades to our country. That means a lot. And it's an honor to share the virtual room with you together.
Thanks very much. I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, let's start talking about you here. And I mean, before we hit the record button for everybody listening, he had some comments. We're going to talk a lot about how to get this done while being in the thick of life. All right. So before we start talking about the thick of life, Trevor, tell us about yourself. And I guess as you're telling us about yourself, you can explain, you know, where you are right now and how that's the thick of life. So
that's right. That's right. Well, first, I would say that I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. That's where everything starts. And then I'm married to a beautiful woman and mother. Her name is Aubrey. And then have two beautiful kids, a five-year-old and a two-year-old and one on the way. And so,
nice.
And right now, what I'm currently doing, I still am in the corporate world. I'm a licensed civil engineer in the state of Texas, but I'm not doing civil engineering right now. Okay. I'm more in a supportive role of civil engineers, and I help them utilize their engineered fabrics, Brian, their engineered fabrics, and I help them utilize that on large infrastructure projects. So I'm still in the engineering world.
But fabrics, like real fabrics, like, you know, like I'm wearing my shirt fabric, or I don't know.
The umbrella classification is geosynthetics. And so if you think about it, it's like the tarps that they roll out when it starts raining at a baseball field.
Got it.
Just imagine something that kind of looks like that, but looks better and way more sophisticated that goes within like the ground to make stuff bigger, stronger, taller.
Got it. I mean, yeah. I was thinking more along the lines of Kevlar, you know, where you know, once again, the Marine in me, you know, you take a bunch of, you know, layers of Kevlar and you can't shoot a bullet through it. But
That's right.
Cool. So fabrics, engineering fabrics, awesome. Take it from there.
Yep, definitely. And so that's what I'm doing. That's my quote, 9 to 5. But my real passion actually is multifamily real estate. And there's a whole story as far as how I got into multifamily real estate. But I don't come from any real estate professionals. Maybe my dad tried to like lease apartments for a little bit. I don't even know if that's true. But basically, real estate wasn't in my mind at all growing up. Yeah. And how I got initially exposed to real estate was a YouTube ad. Mm-hmm. Uncle G,
nice.
Grant Cardone. He's the master promoter. And this was probably in either early 2020 or late 2019 when I came across an ad of Uncle G in my face talking about financial freedom through apartment investing. And that is when the seed of real estate investing got planted into my mind and actually the seed of multifamily investing. But of course, I was under the impression that you can't just jump into apartment investing, you know, starting from square one. So I was like, let's kind of start and dabble in the single family space a little bit. So that's when my real estate investing journey started, was in early 2020.
I just sent Uncle G $1,000 for one of his courses because he told me I was stupid if I didn't. And I'm like, I'm not stupid. So
Which course was that?
It was the webinars, you know, how to profit from webinars or something like that. You know, I saw the ad and it happened to be, you know, right at the right time because you know, in our company, we're talking about hosting more webinars and doing, and then all of a sudden, I mean, I don't think I Googled it, but all of a sudden I saw this Grant Cardone ad pop up on how to do webinars, and he was hosting a webinar on how to do webinars. And at the very end, he's like, $12,000 worth of value for $997. You're stupid if you don't. I'm like, geez, I don't want him to call me stupid. No. That's so, right. Anyway, yeah, his webinar got me. But so anyway, speaking of Uncle G, you know, he's got some good ads out there. He's an incredible marketer. I don't know how good he is at apartment investing, though.
It seems like he's done fairly well for himself. He's got $4 billion worth of apartments.
Yeah, no big deal. I mean, just a couple billion.
That's right. That's it.
Yeah. All right. So Uncle G got you started, you know, single family, like most people. You're like, all right, I want to get in apartments. I got to start with single family. That's where I interrupted you last. So take it from there.
Yep. So I went into single family by purchasing a book by Chris Krohn. I don't know if the listeners out there know who Chris Krohn is, but I purchased a book and then realized I needed to get a mentor, boots on the ground. This is when I was living in Austin, Austin, Texas at the time. I'm in Colorado now. Got a mentor there locally, and he laid down a roadmap for me to purchase my first rental property. And so now I was like, oh man, I'm a legitimate real estate investor. And that was September 2020. And then the following summer, I joined a single family mentorship based in Texas. Then I moved to Colorado. And then I realized, oh man, this mentorship was based in Texas. So I needed to expand my horizon, expand my resources, expand my network. So I joined another mentorship as well, focused on single family. And this is when things started getting interesting, Brian. I did a handful of deals, you know, through these two mentorships and the community that they were there. But of course, this is all on the single family side. And everything started to take a turn really last spring. Is it okay if I unpack this?
Unpack it, man. Yep.
Yeah. So basically what happened was this. This is the beginning of May 2022. My wife and I, we go to bed that night. Our son is right next to us in his room. We wake up in the middle of the night to my son literally just making some crazy noises. Mm-hmm. And we're like, what is going on? So we rush in there and we find out that he is having significantly trouble breathing. Mm-hmm. And I start freaking out. And so I'm sure probably you've had this as a parent at least one time in your life where it crosses your mind, is my kid going to die? And that was flashing across my mind in this moment. And because we had never experienced anything like this before. He's our oldest, and this is our first kind of major health crisis that we've had with our kids. So we rush him to the emergency room. Thankfully, they got everything under control. Wasn't anything too serious, but we were freaked out nevertheless. Freaked out to the point where, like I said, that thought of, man, is my son. Am I going to lose my son tonight? You know, crossed my mind. So that's the beginning of May 2022. 1 week later, my wife, all of a sudden, out of the blue, gets an onset of intense pelvic pain and a fever. Mm-hmm. And we're like, what is going on here? My son and I are actually at a church event. Mm-hmm. And I get a phone call. Babe, I'm not feeling well. I'm not feeling like, what is going on? He's like, pelvic pain. I'm spiking a fever. I need to go to the emergency room. I was like, okay, go to the emergency room. I'm like, oh my gosh, we were just in the emergency room. Yeah. So my wife has to go to the emergency room. I meet her over there. I take the kids back home. Thankfully, it wasn't anything serious, but scary nevertheless. Mm-hmm. You got pelvic pain as a woman and an onset of fever. Who knows what could happen? That happened a week later. Okay. And I haven't told this part of the story publicly yet, Brian, but it was just one of those things where it's just like, it's pressing me and pressing me and pressing me to do something. And as I was home with the kids later that night, my wife, we were borrowing a friend's car from church. And this thing was a jalopy, man. Mm-hmm. This thing was a jalopy. It was an orange Pontiac vibe. Thankful to have borrowed it, but it was not the vibe. Let's just say that it was not the vibe. And my wife is driving home in that from the hospital, and she gets a flat tire at midnight. Mm-hmm. And so my wife has been in the emergency room, is stranded on the side of the road in a car that's been borrowed from a friend because we don't have the finances to actually have like a nice car for her to drive at this point in time. And I'm like, when it rains, it pours.
You got life stacked on you right there.
Yep. And we're not done. We're not done. And I hope it's okay that I'm really digging into this because I really want people to kind of understand like this is what the situation is. Mm-hmm. So that's when a week time frame. Fast forward 4 weeks. So now we're at the beginning of June 2022. My daughter has to have surgery on her ears because she cannot get over chronic ear infections. So you have the two emergency room visits. Mm-hmm. You have the emergency surgery for my daughter's ears to combat her chronic ear infections. And then if you remember last summer, the stock market was doing absolutely horrible. And so my wife and I's retirement accounts got absolutely obliterated. So here we are, the end of June, middle of July. Mm-hmm. I'm basically reevaluating my life because when I look around, I have a fat stack of medical bills from these emergency room visits and the surgery. No hope for retirement because of what happened to my wife and I's retirement accounts. And I'm like, something has to change. Mm-hmm. And something happened that gave me the permission to go all in. It was like the straw that broke the camel's back in the most positive sense. I had a conversation with a gentleman, and this is going to be my mantra, Brian. It's one of my mantras. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with a gentleman in the mentorship and network that I was a part of, Sub 2 with Pace Morby. I'm sure you heard of him. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This gentleman, his name is Keston. I got to name him because I got to give him a shout out. I jump on a conversation with him because number one, I looked up to him. Number two, I saw that he was doing really well in multifamily investing and still kind of starting off his journey. And number three, I wanted to get his perspective on where I was in life. And when I was telling him, Keston, I really feel like I got to start in single family. I got to continue building my credibility in the single family space. I've done X, Y, Z, but I feel like I need to do more. And he was like, Trevor, bro, you can skip the line. Mm-hmm. You can skip the line. And what he meant by that is you can skip the line of single family space and think you got to build your resume here and just go into multifamily. It's like, you can do it. And Brian, that was the permission I needed in combination with these external circumstances to be like, I'm going all in.
Yeah.
I'm going all in multifamily real estate investing. So I'll stop there. That's a very, that's a benchmark moment.
Yeah.
For sure. In my multifamily real estate journey.
Yeah. The details aren't the same for everybody, but you know, I had a similar experience where I was at like a personal rock bottom, you know, and it, you know, the, like I said, much different details, but I hit that personal rock bottom and it's like, how do I get out of this rock bottom? You know, and a lot of the problems I had at the time, and this is something I've learned since, is if you have a problem that can be solved with money, it's not really a problem. Right? Provided you have the money, of course. But you know, most of the problems that I had, like the jalopy, I had to Google that term, by the way. I just did. But yeah, that's a problem that can be solved with money. You know, most medical issues, you know, can be solved with a little bit of money. But end of the day, you know, I hit my rock bottom and I realized, hey, I need to be doing something different. And for me, the something different was multifamily. And you know, it was a very similar trajectory, and it was a very similar, you know, a guy putting his hand on my shoulder one day and saying, you don't have to start. And I was looking at like 5-plexes and 8-plexes instead of the single families. I already had those, but you don't have to do a 5-plex to jump into bigger deals. And he told me the same thing. He's like, you can skip that. So
let's go.
You know, it's the storyline, you know, you come down, you hit that rock bottom, you're searching for a solution, you find it and you go all in. And that's how a lot of people, you know, turn around and make something a lot better in life. So
That's right. That's what I needed. I mean, I took a long, hard look at the mirror. And then I took my crystal ball out, Brian. I gave it a little rub and I was like, okay, if I just let my life continue to play out in this corporate rat race, I just stay in this system. It's literally, I extrapolated that. And what it looked like was a significant lack of freedom to not only create the life that I wanted for my family, but the impact that I wanted to have. And this is an important component too, because my mom, she's always wanted us to make a difference wherever we go. A little bit of a backstory, you know, I went to undergrad and grad school for civil engineering and basically said, see you later to the corporate world and all the job opportunities there to be a full-time Christian ministry for 5 years. I mean, people thought I was crazy doing that, but it was me following my convictions, following my heart and where I could really have an impact. And so that characteristic and that thought of, I want this element of impact in every aspect of my life, in every phase of my life, it's like, it's got to be there. And then when I extrapolated from the crystal ball, what this would look like if I don't do anything, that element of impact was like, where is it, man? Where is it? So that was another one of those things where it's just like, something's got to change. It's like, hey, multifamily investing, let's freaking go.
Let's rock. Okay. So, all right, we're at that point. Now we do have to start talking about, you know, this awesome deal that you did. So let's talk about some of the challenges you had getting started in multifamily. I mean, we've already hit the, you thought you had to do single family. So, I mean, really from the point where it's like, hey, skip the line, you know, so let's talk about the challenges, how you got over the challenges and, you know, just wave tops on that part so we can get into the deal here.
Yep. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So once I made the commitment to go into multifamily, mm-hmm. there was two main challenges that I faced. Mm-hmm. Number one is belief.
Yep.
No, I'd already committed. Actually, I would say everything starts with being committed.
Yep.
But you can commit and still not have the belief that you can do it, which is okay. Mm-hmm. Which is okay. But you can have the belief and not the commitment. That's not going to fly. So I had to work on my mindset. And thankfully, through this mentorship that I joined, it was a great group of people that were super go-getters. And here was the magic part of the formula. Okay. I got an accountability partner. And that helped my belief because to me, I think belief comes from taking action and stacking wins. And yeah, I fell on my face a couple of times and sounded stupid talking to a broker or talking to a lender or, you know, doing a walk in a property. That's okay. That's okay. We fall forward. But, you know, this is important because I want the audience to understand after you make a commitment, things mm-hmm. will start to line up. After you go all in, things will start to line up. And one of those critical pieces of the puzzle for me early on to help overcome the challenges of belief and basically thinking that how am I going to buy millions of dollars of properties? You know, when I'm thinking a $400,000 single family home is expensive, an accountability partner. And that's Marcel, who's now one of my business partners. And, you know, that was absolutely critical in my journey because yeah. as we were taking action together, I mean, Brian, Marcel was in my dome, man. Mm-hmm. He was in my dome. He's German by birth and how he was raised. And so he's got this German accent. And literally any time that I didn't want to, we had homework every week in the mentorship. Anytime that I didn't want to do that homework or I was going to fall short of completing that homework, this German voice would pop into my head because I knew that I was accountable to him and I knew that he was mm-hmm. going to get it done. And we had this element of not only accountability, but kind of friendly competition as well. But nevertheless, that was a huge factor in me getting over the initial challenges of starting in multifamily.
Okay. I like something you said, you know, taking action and stacking wins. I mean, that does help a lot with the beliefs. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of, you know, I talk with a lot of people who are doing what I'm doing. I mean, operating at a much different level. And I've been in the business for 5 years. And there are still times where, you know, I look at beliefs, you know, I struggle with it as well, you know, mindset and beliefs. So hate to say it, but it's something you're going to have to keep working on. But I mean, if you nail it and you can keep on taking action, stacking the wins and building the momentum, I mean, at some point, you know, you're going to feel like you're bulletproof. All right.
That's right.
But
agreed.
Awesome. Yeah. So, all right. So coaching, accountability helped you really get through those upfront challenges. Love that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right.
That's right.
So let's talk about, I mean, you talked about Marcel a little bit, the team. Who else was on this team that put this deal together?
Yep. So it's the three Freedom Boys. Mm-hmm. And that isn't self-proclaimed, Brian. That's actually somebody designated us as the Freedom Boys and it just mm-hmm. kind of stuck. So we've been rolling with it ever since. So me, Marcel, Victor, mm-hmm. that's team one. Another team of two. And we were in the mentorship together. And then there was Carlos. And so that was the team that was put together to get this deal done. And actually, Marcel, he was critical in starting it off because he's based out of Tennessee. The deal's in Knoxville, Tennessee. And it's okay if I just get into kind of how it yeah, came about and things like that.
Let's roll. That's what I was going to ask you next anyway. So just roll.
Yeah, definitely. So Marcel was critical in generating the initial momentum because boots on the ground, you know, and we were all looking everywhere, you know, on LoopNet and things like this. He comes across this deal and, you know, they say LoopNet is where deals go to die. Mm-hmm. Mostly that's true. Mostly that's true. But this one had a special characteristic to it. And this is what the characteristic was. Mm-hmm. Marcel reached out, talked to the broker. They wanted way too much money for it. Come to find out, this is a mom and pop owned deal, mm-hmm. 40 units, Knoxville, Tennessee, and they're wanting way too much money for it. And as we're digging into all the different things you got to dig into to evaluate a deal, we're figuring out this mom and pop run deal, like their financial documentation is absolutely garbage. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about writing stuff on a yellow pad kind of deal.
Yep.
And after going back and forth with the broker, we told the broker this, that, Mr. Broker, if you want this deal done in some sort of ballpark of where the seller wants the price to be, the mm-hmm. only way that's going to happen is through seller finance, because no bank is going to conventionally finance this deal because just the financials are not in place and they're not going to go through yellow pad, you know, paper and things like that to try to evaluate the deal themselves and finance it. So we got the broker bought in. He wanted to get this deal done. The seller wanted to get this deal done. And so through the broker and really educating him on seller finance, because we actually come from a seller finance background.
Yeah, Pace Morby. Pace that's Morby. What he does. Yeah. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we busted that tool out of our tool belt and presented four or five different scenarios, pulling different levers of like interest rates and of course, down payment and purchase price, interest only time frame, these kind of things. Presented four or five scenarios. And thankfully, mm-hmm. we landed on one.
Yep.
The seller bought in, the broker bought in, and basically how it was structured was we were going to put 17%. The purchase price was $2.9 million, mm-hmm. 40 units. We put down 17% at 3% interest, interest-only payments for 5 years.
Nice.
That's how it was structured. And it's been a really great deal for us. A really now, great deal. Not to jump ahead, but that was the structuring of the terms for seller finance.
Now, one question on that. I mean, when you do seller finance, there's lots of options. And the way that I look at it, and we've asked for several seller finance deals before, you got a below market rate and, you know, amazing terms on the loan. Did you guys give more on the price, or, you know, how are you able to get the seller to accept those terms given that a savings account pays more right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this was last November when we finally closed.
So about a year ago. Rates were higher, but not as high as they are now.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah. So still beating out general interest rates, but yeah, not quite the same situation we're in today.
Okay.
I mean, the gentleman who was the seller, he's a judge there locally. He actually owns a lot of real estate. He was pretty motivated to offload this property. He's getting older in his age. And you know, the original asking price on LoopNet, I want to say was like 3.5 million, mm-hmm. something like that, or 3.2. We ended up settling at 2.9. So even we got lower than what they were originally asking, but all the other offers were coming in way lower than ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's how we were able to get it done is, you know, we got somewhere in the ballpark, plus just the seller was motivated and still wanted that mailbox money. You mm-hmm. know, he was totally cool with that, but obviously he's chilling now. He's chilling and doing his judge thing.
Nice. Yeah. We're trying to do the same thing on a deal right now where we're trying to involve seller financing. And, you know, the broker we're dealing with is confided in us the other day. He's like, hey, look, I see a lot of people asking about seller financing. Like in most cases, buyers and sellers are so far away on financing terms that it never works. But he does say, he's like, he also told us this is as close as we've ever gotten to getting something locked down, but we might get it locked down, but it's still the same thing. I think one thing we're looking at is the seller, you know, wants market rates above market asking price and market rates on the financing. And, you know, it's my philosophy is you get one or the other, but.
That's right. That's right. And the numbers are the numbers are the numbers, you know, and I know that there was a big push for seller financing kind of across the board with people in single family that are wanting to get into multifamily that have like a creative finance background. And we actually, the brokers that we had these relationships with, this is after the fact, they were telling us, hey, what's the deal with all these people calling me? Can I buy deals on creative finance? You're like, yeah, no, man, we know there's a big push out there and we know y'all's phones are blowing up and, you know, it's kind of putting a little bit of a tarnish on the seller finance tool. But that's all we encourage people. Hey, if you want to use seller finance, you know, have it as a last resort, as a tool to really solve the problem. And and definitely don't lead with that because you could tarnish your reputation. The broker could easily blackball you. I don't know if you agree, Brian, but that's kind of how that's what we've been telling people when it comes to the whole creative finance.
I would say as long as you are making reasonable offers, it's not going to tarnish your reputation. You know, if you're coming in and trying to lowball, like, just be ridiculous here. Let's say that you're asking them to discount the price by 40%, you know, and give you an interest-free loan, you know, fully amortizing, you know, for the next, you know, 20 years. That's, you know, if you're asking for something that's completely unreasonable and you continue to ask for stuff like that, you know, the brokers are going to stop talking to you, you know, because you're not going to make deals happen. But I think if you're coming in with reasonable terms, reasonable prices, you know, it's just a matter of time before you find somebody who will sell. And there's a certain kind of there's a certain spot where seller financing works. And in most cases, you know, a lot of properties don't work with seller financing. You know, most cases, the sellers owe too much to a current lender to be able to do a full seller finance. So
that's right.
I mean, there are ways to get creative, but I think what we typically do is we come in with a straight up offer first, see what the seller responds with. And if they don't like our price, we'll lead with hey, you know, I can't give you that price with current interest rates, but if you're willing to finance a portion or finance the property, I can probably hit that number. Mm-hmm. So that's typically how we come in with it and try to be as reasonable as possible. We haven't locked one up yet, but we've got two of them that I think we have a really good shot at.
Let's go. Yeah, I mean, creative finance, it allows you to pay more, right? Typically. And that's, you typically have to go up in price if you want to utilize the creative finance tool and not down.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when you got to look at, you know, what does the seller want? You know, and some sellers are happy with the income, like mom and pop owners who are in their, you know, 70s, you know, or whatnot. A lot of times they're happy with the income. That's what they want. That's what they need. Some people are price motivated, you know, and if you're working with a seller, it's price motivated, you know, how do you hit their buttons? By increasing the price, you know? So, So part of it is just understanding the game, understanding the wants and desires of the seller. And the other part is knowing the business well enough to be able to structure something so that it actually creates a win-win.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, cool. And this deal in Knoxville, just a quick comment here, they almost owned it outright. Mm-hmm. They just had a little bit left on their loan, which was, you don't want to pay 17%, right? But it's better than 25, right? Or 35, for sure. So that was a little bit of the reason why we probably couldn't get that down payment a little bit less. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, we had to give him the capital to clear that loan out and put a little in his pocket as well. So and we had to raise the money for a little bit of CapEx too.
Nice. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about the deal. We talked, you know, team came together through the mentoring program. You arranged the seller financing on the property. Let's talk about the raising capital, because you said you just have to raise a little bit of capital, the raising capital process, and then getting to the closing table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So the raising capital process was actually pretty simple, you know, and it was really good because number one, the two teams that came together, the two teams of mentees, mm-hmm. we were, I don't want to say by far, but I would say leading the pack as far as taking action amongst this group of mentees.
Yeah.
And actually something that was happening, which is related to what you see behind me here, Brian, is the Multifamily Freedom Chasers. That's our community mm-hmm. that we have. And that's the Freedom Boys. We started and I'm going somewhere with this. We started an office hours. That's looking back. That's what we call it. We started an office hours where the mentees in this round of mentorship could come together and basically just like learn from each other. Hey, what did you get from the week? What action did you take? And what are you planning on doing this week? Kind of like an accountability group, office hours for an accountability group. So we were hosting that. Mm-hmm. And that actually developed into this right here, the Multifamily Freedom Chasers community. But the point of why I bring that up is because that was a big credibility and trust builder.
Yeah,
because the whole mentee group got to see what we were doing in a transparent, peel back the curtain way. And what that led to was that mm-hmm. plus, you know, combining with our other mentee team, who was a strong leader in the mentee community for this round of mentorship, plus our mentor, it's like there was a lot of trust and credibility there. We're mm-hmm. raising the money was pretty simple. And we basically raised it from the other mentees. Mm-hmm. And we had already had a rapport and relationship and trust built up through the action that we were taking.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, big lesson there is you guys had established yourself, you established a relationship and a reputation. And I mean, that's really what it takes to raise capital is those two things. Okay. Relationship and a reputation. You know, you miss one or you miss the other and you're not likely to raise a lot of money. So you guys nailed it.
I want to encourage the audience out there really quick here, Brian, that we were doing this And this is the Freedom Boys. We're all married. We all work demanding W-2 jobs. I'm in the textile industry. Marcel's in automotive, quality control of Volkswagen. Victor's a doctor in pharmacy, and he's in women's health doing some crazy stuff over there.
Yeah.
And we're all married and have multiple kids, 5 years and younger, while trying to pave a new way in a space. Going through this mentorship, running this deal, things like that. And so it can be done.
Yeah.
You can go through what I call the thick of life, which is what I just described. And everybody has their own level of thickness. Nobody's like in a non-thick life. Yeah. If it's okay if I use that term, everybody has their level of thickness. And and we were really motivated, not because of just our personal circumstances, but the impact that we wanted to have, to say, hey, guys, we want to be an example for so many people that this can be done while working a W-2. And that's why we're called the Freedom Chasers.
Yeah.
That's why we are Freedom Chasers Capital. Our community is Multifamily Freedom Chasers, because we are on our chase for freedom through multifamily investing.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, so I'm glad the capital raise went well for you. You know, it's something that right now is hard to do. A year ago, it was also hard to do. So congratulations to get that wrapped up quickly and going with that. So let's talk about getting to the closing table, you know, any big issues getting to the closing table and how things gone since.
Yeah. So I would just say with the closing table, kind of a lessons learned is to really have a checklist going into closing and making sure everybody's on the same page as we get close to the finish line that, hey, this are still the open action items. This is what been done. And then who's responsible to get these things checked off the list so that we can get this thing across the finish line. That was the big kind of lesson takeaway for us. Thankfully, we were able to get across the finish line. It was a challenge, but looking back, we wish we had dedicated more time and energy on really focusing in, hey, let's build out a comprehensive checklist and really be on top of that. Of course, this is our first time doing such a thing, but yeah, nevertheless, that's something that we're taking with us moving forward for sure.
Nice.
So we got it across the finish line, man. We got it across the finish line. And this was a heavy value add play here. We were going to be renovating the majority of the units, and it was going to be quite a turn, of the tenant base. There were some evictions that need to happen. Mm-hmm. So we're in the process of running this deal right now, and hats off to Marcel, who oversees the asset management portion of Freedom Chasers Capital. He's doing a lot of the heavy lifting there. I'm on the investor relations side. Victor's on acquisitions and underwriting, but yeah, it's been quite a heavy lift. So a lot of lessons learned along the way. Mm-hmm.
Nice. And you're just shy of a year into it. So yeah, excited. How much longer you got to hold the property?
We have it for a 5-year runway.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're planning on selling in year 5. Mm-hmm. And based off the underwriting and the business plan and the pro forma, it's looking like the property is going to be close to doubling in value.
Nice.
Yeah, good so numbers. Basically a $3 million property turns into a $6 million property.
Yeah. All day, right? That's how
all day, baby. All day.
So Trevor, one deal closed. It's, you know, up and running. You know, what's next for you and the Multifamily Freedom Chasers?
That's right. So we got two highways we're driving down. And so we have Freedom Chasers Capital. That's our business of buying apartments. And we have the Multifamily Freedom Chasers, which is our community, where we offer a free 101 multifamily education with no upsell. Mm-hmm. So we're running on both of these. So on the business side with Freedom Chasers Capital, we're just heavily dialed in our three target markets. We've been slinging LOIs, but haven't been awarded any deals. We're finding that there's buyers out there that are willing to pay more than what we are willing to pay. So, and we understand we're not the only ones in that boat as well. Yep. So, and you're probably seeing that too, I would imagine, right, Brian?
Yeah. I mean, there are buyers willing to pay more, but I think the biggest problem is the seller's not willing to accept less. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where the big disconnect is right now.
Yep. Agreed. So we're in our three target markets. And one of the things that we learned, and this is something that the listeners can put into their pocket, especially if they're on the beginner side, you know, we made a mistake, and I shouldn't say a mistake, but we'll call it a learning seminar. Mm-hmm. Where we were looking in different geographic areas for good deals. Mm-hmm. And then whenever we thought we found a good deal, we would then work on assembling the more comprehensive team around that deal. Mm-hmm. Your lender, your property management company, legal, obviously the broker, these kind of things. Where we pivoted at the beginning of this year, and we said, guys, we're in the thick of life. Mm-hmm. We got to get everything we have to do in a way that's like super efficient and effective and very strategic. And so we said, hey, let's just choose three target markets and mm-hmm. let's build our comprehensive team. And whenever we find a deal, we already insert it into our built out comprehensive team and we're ready to rock and roll. Yeah. So I would think that that's been extremely helpful for us. And if you're new out there and if you are in the quote, quote, thick of life, that's what I would recommend is building your comprehensive team in your market and then searching for deals with that comprehensive team already built up.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's, I run a coaching program and I tell them a lot, it is the better way of doing things is, you know, you set up your systems, you set up your team, you get yourself ready, and then, you know, the world's your oyster. You know, you can tackle any deal you want to within reason. I mean, mm-hmm. I wish it was that easy, but yeah, I agree very much. So
excellent. Excellent. Awesome.
All right. So almost the last question, but if you nail one question, this is the one you got to nail. All right. So no pressure. What advice would you give to somebody who is 6 to 12 months behind you in the thick of life, starting their journey?
Number one, join a mentorship. Trying to do this industry and ride it out on the free wave. The free wave is not going to work. You have to invest in yourself to join a mentorship. Yep. Somebody that's executed successfully in the space. And then number two, network your tail off. Mm-hmm. Network your tail off because this is a relationship game. And so as you're learning the business, you know this, Brian, multifamily real estate investing, it's not that hard from like a conceptual, technical, academic standpoint. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. It's really a people game. It's a people game. And so let's say get the mentor to accelerate your journey and then network your tail off. And as you're taking action, number one, you'll find yourself, and we all found this as the Freedom Boys, you'll organically grow into your role. I don't think we have time to get all that, but you know, basically your role of where would you fit on a more comprehensive team, you'll find yourself organically going into that route as you continue taking action and learning. But then you're going to have to fill in the pieces of the puzzle of your team as well. And that's where the networking component comes in, where you want to align with people that, number one, share core values, number one. And then number two, out from the core value synergy. It's not a core value synergy. It's an overlap of core values. You want identical core values. Out from that, then you have your skill set where you have your synergies that can take place for you to execute as a high level operating team. Yeah. Yep. That's what I would say, man.
Awesome. Awesome. Love it. All right. Now, last question for you. How can listeners learn more about you?
Yeah, definitely. I would say the first place that they can go is check out our Facebook page, the Multifamily Freedom Chasers. That's our community that literally, Brian, we stumbled upon. We stumbled upon the idea of starting a community. It was a light bulb moment that we had. And again, it goes back to the impact thing. Hey, we realized how many people out there just like us in the thick of life, that when they propel their future forward, they don't see the freedom that they want. Mm-hmm. But they believe in the power of real estate investing to chase their freedom, not just for freedom itself. This is important. This is an important addition that we make, because a lot of people just end at freedom. The freedom is for the purpose of having more time to spend on what brings you meaning, purpose, and joy.
Yeah,
that's what the freedom is for. Mm-hmm. And so I would say they could plug into our Facebook group, Multifamily Freedom Chasers. If we can share that link, that would be great, Brian. And take advantage of all of our free, everything we have is free on there. We have an educational ecosystem, Multifamily 101. Plug in there. My Instagram handle, if you want to plug in with me personally, is right here, trevor.m.walker. And if you want to potentially partner with us down the road, we're wide open to partnerships 100%. They can go to our website, freedomchaserscapital.com. And at the upper right, there's a tab that says become an investor, and they can go down that journey. So I would say those three ways, our Facebook group, me on Instagram right here, and then Freedom Chasers Capital, become an investor.
Awesome. And we'll put links to all that stuff in the show notes for anybody who's interested. So yeah, beautiful. Trevor, thanks for coming on. Very much appreciate your time. And, you know, thanks for explaining how to get things done during in the thick of life.
In the thick of life. Yes, sir. It was a real honor to be here, Brian. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Diary of an Apartment Investor podcast by the Tribe of Titans. If you're still listening, you obviously liked it. So go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and review if you haven't already, and then make sure to check out our YouTube channel, which incidentally has a ton of video content that you'll also enjoy and learn from. Now, if you're interested in being on the show, go to our website, diaryofanapartmentinvestor.com, and fill out the questionnaire on the website. And for more educational content and for more information about our educational community, check us out at thetribeoftitans.info.